Welcome to Induction Vault, a production of iHeartRadio and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Better to induct the godfather of shock rock, Alice Cooper, along with the rest of the Alice Cooper band, than horror movie director and fellow spooky rocker, Rob Zombie. Zombie's hilarious speech recounts his lifelong idolization of Cooper and the momentous inspiration that Alice Cooper's theatrical rock and macabre stage shows were, not only for Zombie's career, but for rock music in general. Then, Cooper, Dennis Dunaway, Michael Bruce, and Neil Smith make brief but poignant remarks paying tribute to late bandmate Glenn Buxton and thanking the fans and others who helped them along the way, perfectly illustrating why so many devotees remember the Coop.
Hello, hello, good evening. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I was thinking about rock and roll heroes and what they mean. I mean, we love rock and roll heroes because they're cooler than us, they're smarter than us, they're richer than us. And we all love them, right? Wrong. I mean, let's put it in perspective. I don't want to name names, but say James Bond, you know? What good is James Bond without Goldfinger? Or Dr. No? Or Pussy Galore? He's just a suave, boring guy in a tux with a nitpicky drink order that, likes to say his name a lot, you know, Bond, James Bond. Hey, Bond, James Bond, buddy. And in 1969, that was essentially what had happened to rock. All heroes, no villains. And you're thinking, well, what about Jerry Lee Lewis? What about Keith Richards? Badass motherfuckers, to be sure, but not villains. But then, in 1969, a very special event happened. It was in Venice, California, at the Cheetah Club, where a new band, Alice Cooper, appeared on stage. You say that now, but not in 1969, because that show is famous for the fact that within 5 minutes, they cleared the room. They told me the story themselves. It's true. They cleared the room. Everyone hated them, except one man. Now, I see John Densmore brought a prop, and so did I. I figured that was a very intense moment in rock history, so I wanted to act it out for you. But I need my script, hold on a second. The one man who saw the beauty in that was Frank Zappa. Exactly. Who else? So Frank went up to that band, said, I'm gonna sign you to my label, I don't like you. I don't understand your music. You're so freaky, I don't get it. Are you on drugs? Which Alice said, no, not on drugs. I don't know, maybe wasn't. And then Frank asked, hey, where are you from? Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I guess Phoenix, Arizona was all Frank needed to hear, because right after that, he signed him to his label. The rest is rock history. I mean, they went on at that point to become the most rock star destroying band of all time. Nobody could understand. They took everything to a new level. They even tried to explain it in their own songs. There's this one song, Be My Lover, where the lyrics go, she asked me why the singer's name was Alice. I said, listen, baby, you just wouldn't understand. As my mom would say, which one's Alice? Is it she? Is she the one that's Alice? Anyway, they were more than a band. They were more like a murderous gang of drag queens, say. In a good way, that's good. But their mission was, as they would say it themselves, was to destroy the hippies' dreams of peace, love, and understanding. And to quote them, all they wanted were Ferraris, switchblades, and blondes. Well, maybe Rolls Royces too, I don't know. In fact, they knew how, you know, the villains know how to party. And even Jim Morrison wrote about it. He would sing, I woke up this morning and I got myself a beer. which is a line he stole from Alice when Alice was just explaining his morning ritual. And Jim thought, wow, hardcore. Anyway, the Alice Cooper Band was glam rock before anyone thought of glam rock. They were punk rock before anyone thought of punk rock. In fact, Johnny Rotten auditioned for the Sex Pistols by singing an Alice Cooper song. So, what are you gonna do? I mean, everywhere I turn, someone references them. I mean, Rocky Horror Picture Show, the main reference was Alice Cooper. Everything's Alice Cooper. I mean, they were just basically Emma Peel meets Baby Jane under the guidance of Dr. Frankenstein. I can't think of any other way to describe it. Even for a fourth grader, I remember, I was worshipped Alice Cooper. And a brief little story, you know, it was fourth grade, little art fair at the local public library. Everybody had to paint a picture of somebody they admired. They figured, you know, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, whatever, boring. I painted a portrait of Alice Cooper with the words "love it to death" and blood dripping down the side. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Well, it got yanked out of the art show and made the paper front page, you know, sick kid loves Alice Cooper or something. So Alice, thanks for the early press. I appreciate that. Anyway, of course, Alice Cooper did one thing that I think people forget he did. He invented the rock show. Before Alice Cooper, there was not a rock show. He invented the rock show. I could list all the things that he did, but I'd be here all night, but dancing skeletons, boa constrictors, guillotines, hangings, electric chairs, black widows, dead babies, balloons filled with money, blizzards of bubbles, confetti, chickens with machine guns, nurses, platform boots, tuxedos, blah, 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 blah. And makeup, the iconic makeup. Oh, yeah. He also did a thriller of a track with Vincent Price long before Michael Jackson ever thought of it. Just to stick it in there. Anyway, I wouldn't be here talking about Alice Cooper if it was just a stage show. You know, stage shows get old, outrage fades, and last year's freak show is this year's award show. But within that, a man would come along who is sort of as George Martin was to the Beatles, this man would be to Alice, and that's Bob Ezrin. Bob, where are you? Bob, you've been bugging me all night. Where'd you go? In a short period of time, they would just crank out amazing platinum record after amazing platinum record, hit after hit, that became more than hits. They became anthems, teenage anthems. Everything was an anthem. School's Out, 18, No More Mr. Nice Guy, Under My Wheels, on and on and on. By that point, 1974, it was impossible to ignore these sick things, and their place in rock history was already rock solid. But I still remember seeing this picture of Alice Cooper leaning at the bar, or maybe leaning on the counter at the Holiday Inn, I'm not sure. And he had a denim jacket that said, "Remember the Coop," embroidered on the back. Well, 40 years later, 50 million records later, yeah, we fucking remember the Coop, all right.
After the break, we'll hear from members of Alice Cooper Band on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Vault.
Thank you. Kachina. Kachina, our snake here, felt a little left out. Because she normally performs with us, but you know. Yes, yes, that is Elton John over there. That's right. Such a groupie, it's unbelievable. We just want to thank the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for voting us in. We really have to thank our manager of 42 years, Shep Gordon. We still don't have a contract. We'll get around to that. And Joe Greenberg, Bob Ezrin, who produced all of the big records for us. And we want to recognize the late Glenn Buxton, who was the heart and soul of our band. As black and dark as it may be, it's the heart and soul. Played tonight, of course, by Steve Hunter on lead guitar. You know, we were the first generation brought up by the Beatles and the Stones who influenced everybody. But the bands that really, really hit home for us were the Yardbirds The Who, The Kinks. They gave us our musical education. I hope I never outgrow a Pete Townsend windmill chord. I hope I never outgrow a Jeff Beck lead guitar. If I do, just shoot me. We've always been a hard rock band. We just wanted to decorate it just a little bit differently. I wish I could tell you that being in the hall now, that we'll never embarrass you. But I really can't make that promise. I mean, after all, we are Alice Cooper. It's what we do.
I'd like to thank the rats that are in the snake's stomach for sacrificing the ultimate sacrifice for art. Lots of things happen over the years. Number one, you trade these in for these. One thing I did not anticipate to the volume that it has been is as soon as we found out that we were inducted, the phone rang off the hook. I've been so busy, and I'm not him. The snake probably got more than me too, even, but I've been so busy, this is what I ended up with for a speech. I'd like to thank Dwayne Eddy and the Rebels for playing at a double feature movie, and between movies they came out and played, and I said, that's what I want to do. And I talked to my other skinny nerd friend at high school. We were the two nerds. And we decided to start a band. How did we get here? I'd like to thank John Spear, John Tatum, Mike Allen, Charlie Carnell, Dick Christian, Jack Curtis, Fender for the billion-dollar bass that you saw tonight, and the equipment, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I love them. We are here. My wife, Cindy, who had a lot to do with blinging us out. And she was a dancing tooth. She was the original nurse, and she was also a major therapist for all of us. My daughters, Renee and Chelsea, for all of their support. My mom and dad, Joe Greenberg, Shep Gordon, for seeing something that a whole room full of people didn't. Bob Ezrin, it's always an honor and a joy to work with him. He puts up with a lot out of my abstract excursions into the pioneering realms of outer space. And last but not least, the great, the fire of the band, Glenn Buxton. Thank you.
Oh, be still, my raging heart. I just wanted to say thank you for the wonderful Alice's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Fernier, for putting up with us as we rehearsed and sat on their Naga hide couch during the summer, and it stuck. And also the Buxtons, Glenn, of course, a wonderful man who's not with us tonight, and also my folks who are not with us tonight, and we couldn't have done it without you. And also, I'd just like to extend this, find it in your heart for our brothers and sisters in Japan who have suffered a tremendous loss, and they'll need all of our help to get back on their feet. And God bless you all, and rock on!
First of all, I'd like to thank four of my best friends in the world, Glenn Buxton, late Glenn Buxton, Michael Bruce, Vincent Fernier, who became Alice, and Dennis Dunaway. These four characters gave a homeless drummer a place to stay in Santa Monica. 2 weeks later, they asked me to play drums in their band, and I accepted. Thanks to Todd Rundgren for calling his band the Naz. And we had to change the name of our band. We chose the name Alice Cooper. And thanks to Frank Zappa, and thanks to Dennis's wife, Cindy, my sister, for being at work in Los Angeles when two cool-looking dudes from New York came into her shop to do some shopping. She found out their names were Shep Gordon and Joe Greenberg, and that they'd come to Los Angeles to manage a band. And she said, so coincidentally, my brother is in a band called Alice Cooper, and Frank Zappa wants to sign them. Joe and Shep, thank you. They did sign us as our managers. And also thanks to Bob Ezrin, and thanks to Jack Richardson. Jack Richardson didn't really want to record the band, so he threw us at Bob, who became the sixth member of the band, even though he is Canadian. All together. I love their beer. Mr. Hess, my fifth grade music teacher, who was ready to wrap a trombone around my throat and told me, why don't I try to play something else like the drums? Thank you. Lastly, and most importantly, to all the Alice Cooper fans around the planet that have been supportive over the years, and hoping that this day, this night, would eventually come. Well, guess what? Alice Cooper and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have now collided, and this statue is because of you, it's about you, and it's for you. Thank you a fucking billion.
Thank you. By the way, it's my 35th anniversary to my wife, Cheryl, over there, who was our skinny little ballerina in Nightmare, and we're still happily married. Thank you, babe.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Vault. For more on your favorite inductees, to shop inductee merch, or to plan your trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, visit rockhall.com. Plus, view the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction special on demand on HBO Max. Our executive producers are Noel Brown, Shelby Morrison, and Risa Gerke. Supervising producer is Taylor Chacoin. Research and archival assistance from Isabel Kiefer and Shannon Erb. Thanks again for joining us on this week's episode of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Vault. Induction Vault is a production of iHeartRadio and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.